messages from God. We find this type of prophecy throughout the Old Testament. The prophet who spoke for God would often preface his speech with these words, "This is what the Lord says," or King James Version, "Thus saith the Lord." I love that. "Thus saith the Lord." One example, Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1. Isaiah says, "But now, this is what the Lord says. He who is your creator, and he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. This is what the Lord says." Another example. From the book of Amos. "Then a man of God came to Eli and said to him, 'This is what the Lord says. Did I not indeed reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Did I not choose them from all the tribes of Israel to be my priests, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? Did I not give to the house of your father all the fire offerings and the sons of Israel? Why are you showing contempt for my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded for my dwelling? Why are you honoring your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people Israel? Therefore, the Lord God of Israel declares, I indeed say that your house and the house of your father was to walk before me forever. But now, this is what the Lord says. Far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. This is what the Lord says." That is the prophet. And these are just two of a vast number of prophecies in the Old Testament. Then we have that final word of prophecy from the last of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist, who testified in John chapter 1, verse 32, and says this, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.' He who sent to me, he who sent me to baptize, God the Father said to John the Baptist, 'The one upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, he is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.'" The final word, this final word of prophecy spoken through the Old Testament prophet testifies of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament prophets prophesied under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to give direction, to give instruction, to give commandments, and to give foretellings of God's will for his people. But in the theological term, the word inspiration is reserved to pertain only to the written word of God. The written word of God is passed down to the apostles and to the prophets. These are the inspired words of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Paul tells this, "All scripture is inspired by God," meaning that all scripture is God-breathed. So what Paul is saying right there, that all scripture is God-breathed, Paul is saying that the Bible is not a book of human imagination. The Bible is not a book of human origin, but that God actually breathed the words of the Bible into the hearts and into the minds of his prophets and apostles. And therefore, these words, the word of God, cannot be altered. It cannot be tampered with in any way. This final written word of God is not subjected to human judgment, but it is to be considered as sacred. It is to be considered as forever established in heaven, because these are the living words of the living God. These are the words that are with God, the word that is God. These words are to be obeyed. They come to us straight from the heart, straight from the mind of God. Unquestionable, immutable, and authoritative. These are the words of God. This is what the Lord says. But this is not the definition of prophecy that Paul is understanding in our text today. Paul is not saying here that the person who prophesies speaks with the same authority as the Old Testament prophets. No, that's not what he's saying. Because if that were the case, then the person who prophesies today, their words would represent Scripture. And we know from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, that the canon of Scripture has been closed forever. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers in the prophets, in many portions and in many ways, in these last days has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the world. God has spoken for his final time in inspirational ways through Jesus Christ, and the canon is forever closed. The Old Testament prophet has been done away. So the person who has the gift of prophecy is not prophesying with the same level of authority as an Old Testament prophet. No way. The Old Testament prophet words were inspired by God. They cannot be altered. They cannot be changed. And that is not the way that Paul wants us to understand the gift of prophecy. God's final word to his people is Jesus Christ the Lord. He is the final, he is the most authoritative word of God. And nothing can be added to, and nothing can be taken away from him. The canon of Scripture is forever closed, and God is no longer authorizing new Scripture. The point that God wanted to make from the dateless days of eternity has been made in Jesus. The goal that God has always had in mind for humanity has been reached through Jesus Christ. And God no longer inspires prophets to speak immutably on his behalf. God has spoken salvation. God has spoken deliverance through Jesus Christ alone, and God will not speak again. Jesus Christ, therefore, is the fulfillment, or he brings closure to the law. He brings closure to the prophets. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 makes this point very clear. Paul says, so then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Paul is saying that the foundation of the people of God, the foundation of the church of Jesus Christ, has already been laid. This foundation consists of the apostles and the prophets and Jesus Christ himself. This is the foundation of the written word of God. This foundation will never change. This foundation that Christ has laid cannot be expanded, cannot be altered. It is forever settled. So what is Paul talking about when he speaks to us about this gift of prophecy? The gift of prophecy that Paul is describing to us is not foundational prophecy. It's not the kind of prophecy that we can rely on for salvation. The prophets of today cannot speak some new word through which a person can be saved. Salvation is the foundational attribute of the written word of God alone. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing only by the word of God. And anyone claiming to have some new word from God that can lead to salvation, other than what has been written, is not speaking the truth. Any prophet, any person with the gift of prophecy who declares his or her words to be somehow immutable is not speaking the truth. The words of God's Old Testament prophets must be obeyed. The words of God's apostles must be adhered to. And the words and the teachings of Jesus Christ are immutable in nature. They are the pinnacle of God-breathed authority, and they are the only bedrock for our faith. So then, I'm explaining all of that. What am I getting to? What is the nature of this gift of prophecy that Paul has listed here in 1 Corinthians? Well, the answer is this, that this is the prophetic gifting that God had promised to give to his church in Joel chapter 2, verse 28, where God says, "It will come about after this that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will have dreams," that's me. "Your young men will see visions," that's Joe. This is the promise that was fulfilled for us in the book of Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit invaded the place where they were sitting, and he came in like a rushing mighty wind, and he filled the place where they sat. The day of Pentecost. The Bible says that the Spirit of God rested upon each one of those who were present and waiting for him in that space. They began to speak in unknown tongues. As the Holy Spirit gave them utterance, they began to speak words of prophecy by the Holy Spirit. And this was a general prophetic anointing. These people were not prophets in the same way as those who had specifically been called by God to be his mouthpiece to the people. They were not that. These people and the church today have been given the gift of prophecy to speak the will of God, not to speak the salvific word from God. Those with the gift of prophecy today are able to speak God's will in a particular moment in time. This is the way Paul understands the gift of prophecy in our text. It is the gift of interpreting the will of God for a given season of life, for ministry. It is the ability to interpret the will of God concerning current events, to understand and to describe not God's overall strategy for saving the world, because that foundation has already been laid. It cannot be laid again. But rather, this is the ability to know and to articulate the will of God. To understand not the strategy of God, but to understand the tactics of God. To understand the movements of God in our world today. To understand God's will for our lives. To understand God's will for our church and for our communities. We already know, we already understand the ultimate purpose of God. But what we cannot often understand is just how God intends to use us to accomplish that purpose. And this may be at times what the person with the gift of prophecy can help us to figure out, can help us to work through. In his ministry, Paul had been blessed with many people who had the gift of prophecy, who had that prophetic gifting. For example, the time when Paul was what I call lost at sea, in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 6, as he was trying to figure out where God was calling him to do ministry. The Bible says that Paul and his people that were with him, they passed through Phrygia. They passed through the Galatian region. After being forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. So Paul is on the sea in this boat, and he's trying to figure out where to go. But he goes to Asia, and the Holy Spirit says, "No, you can't preach in Asia right now." Then they came to Mysia. They were trying to go into Bithynia, the Bible says, and the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. Paul is kind of lost in ministry. What do I do next? Where should I go? Who should I speak the word of God to? He couldn't figure it out. So he went down to Troas, trying to figure out where the Holy Spirit would have him bring the word, bouncing around from city to city, only to find that they had missed the will of God again. And the Bible says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and pleading with Paul and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. I love that. When he had the vision, the Bible says they immediately sought to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This man appears to Paul in a vision. This man who appeared to Paul has the gift of prophecy, and he used his gift to give Paul direction as to the will of God for his next ministry assignment. Paul received direction there through the spiritual gift, prophecy. Then there was another time that is very, very interesting to me in Acts chapter 21, verse 7, where the writer here recalls that when they had finished the voyage from Tyre, we arrived at Ptolemais, and after greeting the brothers and sisters, we stayed with them for a day. On the next day, we left and came to Caesarea, and we entered the house of Philip the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and we stayed with him. Now, this man had four virgin daughters who were prophetesses. Interesting. As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And he came to us and took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews in Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and hand him over to the Gentiles." When we had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul replied, "What are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." And since Paul would not be persuaded, we became quiet, remarking, "The will of the Lord be done." Paul received this word of prophecy that the man who goes up to Jerusalem, who owns this belt and goes up to Jerusalem, he will be tied up and handed over to the Gentiles. This is the gift of prophecy giving Paul a warning of what is to come. And what we learn about the gift of prophecy from this story is that while the person with this gift may come to know, may come to speak the will of God, that their words are not binding, and that the person being prophesied to, he has the right to heed the warning or to continue on his path, whichever he chooses, without fear of incurring God's wrath. You couldn't do that with an Old Testament prophet. If an Old Testament prophet gave you warning, you need to stop in your tracks and change course. But this gift of prophecy does not come with that level of authority. So Paul says, "Okay, I hear what you're saying, you person with the gift of prophecy, but I'm going anyway." And all the prophet can say is, "Okay, your will, God's will be done. I don't have authority over you. I don't have authority over you like the Old Testament prophets exercise." Jehoshaphat, when he stood, he said these words, "Listen to me, Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord your God and you will endure. Put your trust in his prophets and you will succeed." Put your trust in his prophets and you will succeed. The prophet of today cannot say that. The prophet of today cannot say, "Put your trust in me and you will know." Put your trust in Jesus Christ and you will succeed. The Old Testament prophet had the authority and the right and the ability to bless the people or even to curse. The New Testament person with this gift of prophecy does not have that level of authority. So that God used the Old Testament prophet to command and to control his people. But now he uses the spiritual gift of prophecy in our midst today to build and to minister and to serve the body of Jesus Christ. With words of encouragement, with words of warning, with words of direction, with words of comfort, speaking words of peace, words that come from God. We want to just recall Paul's explanation here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That the gifts that Jesus Christ has delivered to his church through the Holy Spirit are given for the common good. The gifts that Jesus Christ has given to his church by way of the Holy Spirit are given to effect change, to empower, and to cause uninhibited growth in the things of God. So the person with this gift of prophecy speaks the things that God brings to his mind. This is the gift of prophecy. Sometimes God may give the person a Bible verse to share at a particular time. Sometimes God may give the person a word of direction to share with a fellow believer. The person with this gift of prophecy might even be given a word for the non-believer. As Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, as he tries to prioritize the value of the various gifts. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 24, if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an outsider enters, he is convicted by all. He is called to account by all. And the secrets, listen to this, and the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so he will fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. This is the power of the spiritual gifting of prophecy. To be able to see into the secret things of another individual's heart. That is the gift of prophecy. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. In other words, the person with the gift of prophecy is not only able to know the mind of God, but she's also able to give insight, have special insight into the hearts of men. And that is very interesting. I'll tell you why. Because all of us think we know ourselves, right? I think I know myself fairly well. I think I can give an explanation for all of my motivations, for everything that I do. I think I know myself fairly well. We believe we know our intentions very well. We believe we know where our emotions come from. We believe we know where our emotions are even stored within our hearts. We think we know ourselves. But very often, and I'm telling you this is the truth, very often, what I find among most believers is that most of us barely know our own true thoughts. Most of us barely know our own true hearts, much at all. It is tragic, but it is true. Most of us have a very shallow understanding of our own motivations and a very shallow understanding of our own intentions. We naively choose to think the best of ourselves at all times and to give justifications for all of our thoughts, for all of our emotions at all times. We don't know ourselves possibly as well as we should. We don't know ourselves much at all. Most of us have blind spots, huge blind spots. Many of us have dislocated value systems, disjointed value systems, where all of our values do not intertwine, broken emotional capacities, unidentified propensities toward depression and sadness from injuries that we have never been healed from along life's journeys. Many of us harbor deep resentments. Many of us have learned prejudices and biases that so color our lives that we're not able to do the will of God or to produce the spiritual fruit that God commands because of our limited spiritual range, our limited spiritual understanding. These are strongholds in our lives. But the person with the gift of prophecy is sometimes made aware of our dysfunction. Not for the purpose of correction, not for the purpose of rebuke. But in order to bring to our awareness those areas of our lives where we need to be more intentional to yield up to God, there are things that the person with the gift of prophecy can see and can sense in people that he is already aware that they are not even aware of, but he knows it. God has shown it to him. And he's certain that he knows that this person's heart is bound in this way, suffering and struggling from this painful emotion, that he needs deliverance. The person with the gift of prophecy can see that. It is a powerful gift. Sometimes he may say what he sees. Most times he will not say what he sees, but will simply minister to the person in such a way to assist them in coming out of their present darkness. This is the gift of prophecy. And of course, then, along with this gift of prophecy comes a measure of spiritual power. Power that is necessary to break through strongholds in people's lives, to pull people out of the burning building, to help people to find their balance in the midst of uncertainty, to remove blockades that block people's way from getting to Jesus. It is a strong gift, the gift of prophecy. I agree with the Apostle Paul in this. Paul says that the gift of prophecy is the greatest of all of the spiritual gifts. Why is that? Because the gift of prophecy is able to incorporate all of the other gifts within itself. And the person with the gift of prophecy has the capacity, through faithful service, through a clear conscience, to oversee the healthy spiritual growth and development process of other believers from start to finish. The person with the gift of prophecy is equipped with all of the spiritual gifts. Of course, some would argue, most conservatives would argue, that the office of the prophet has been done away with. But the book of Ephesians assures me that that is simply not the case, that there are still prophets among us. The office of the prophet still exists today. And those who have been given the gift of prophecy can most certainly become prophets at some later point, as they've been duly tried, as they have been wounded, as they have been examined and found to be trustworthy. God does not just speak his mind to everybody, because not everyone has the spiritual stamina to stand beneath the thoughts of God, or a large enough container to hold God's thoughts. Most believers are not able to receive these words from God, from the mind of God, because the adversary would just annihilate them, because they're carrying more than they're able to even defend. There are not many offices of prophet today, because there are not many people who have paid their dues. There are not enough men who are found trustworthy to sit and to hear the mind of God. In fact, there are not even many people today who operate in the gift of prophecy. And you ask yourself the question, you're probably listening right now and thinking, you know, this is sounding so mystical, dude. The gift of prophecy, all that stuff, nah. And that's too impractical. God doesn't do stuff like that anymore. What are you even talking about? Yeah, you're saying that because you haven't seen it. And you haven't seen it because we have not demonstrated to God the spiritual level of maturity in order to function in these places. It's not because God is lacking. It's not because the gift is not here and present among us. It is because we are not spiritually mature enough to access the gift. That's the problem. So in this case, I will depend and trust the word of God more than my own personal experience, because I know that God knows what he's doing. And the word of God says that he has given us the gift of prophecy, and he has given us the gift of the prophet, and I believe that, even if I can't see it with my own eyes. Why are there not many offices of prophet today? Why is the gift of prophecy so silent and dormant among us today? I just told you why. Because this gift of prophecy, being the greatest gifts of all the spiritual gifts, comes with a myriad of pitfalls, stumbling blocks, challenges, setbacks, heartbreak that many of us, and I dare say most of us in this entire hemisphere, are unwilling or unable to endure. There are not enough of us who are willing to carry the heavy cross. We prefer our crosses to be light. But there are believers that God has offered and is offering this gift of prophecy. And in offering you the gift of prophecy, God is inviting you to walk more closely to himself, to see the world, to see life from his vantage point, from his perspective. And even with the promise of such great benefit, this gift remains dormant, unwrapped, and unused in the Church of Jesus Christ. But there are those whom God is constantly inviting to participate, to partake in this gift of prophecy. Those are the kinds of people that get flashes of spiritual insight, but they're afraid to speak the words. Those are the people who can see something coming in the spirit, but they're unwilling to sound God's alarm. But they see it coming. Can anybody relate to that? Can anybody relate to that? To see a thing coming in the spirit before it even gets here. To identify it a long way off. That's what the prophets of old did. They stood on the wall, the watchmen on the wall, and they saw what was coming from a distance, and they were able to warn the people of God. What a powerful gift that is. What a powerful blessing that would be to the Church of Jesus Christ if we had spiritual men and women who operated in this gifting. God is always inviting us to participate in this gift of prophecy. Remember, this is a general gifting. God said your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Not just one or two of them, all of them will prophesy. It's supposed to be a general gifting to the church. In fact, the Corinthian church, as bad off as they were, as unwise as they were, from what Paul says to us here, the spiritual gift of prophecy was operating among them in overtime. It was normal to hear prophecy in the church. It was normal to be able to come to my brother and say, man, I'm praying about this. I got this job opportunity. I'm not sure what I should do. And the brother can pray about it and come back and say, this is what I believe the Lord is saying to you. There are not enough people confident enough that they hear the voice of God correctly to even say that. And that is a shame. Because what that means is that we don't have close relationships with God. We don't talk to God enough, and God doesn't speak. Well, God speaks to us, but we can't even hear him. And that is a shame. I'm not certain why that is, but I'm sure it has a lot to do with fear, because I'll tell you this. When you start operating in gifts like this, in what I describe as the power gifts of God, you're going to the battlefield. You're not going to be able to sit at home with this one and rest on your laurels. When you start functioning in these types of power giftings, you're going to the battlefield, whether you want to or not, because the battlefield is coming to you. Satan loves trophies. He has a wall of trophies of apostles and prophets and pastors and evangelists, and he takes their heads and puts them on his wall. And we all know it in a way. And we're afraid to get in the battle because we're afraid we're going to be wounded and injured and broken down and broken up, and our time is going to be consumed, and we can't relax and take our nice vacations. Yeah. It costs something to function in the power of the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, too many in the body of Christ are unwilling to pay even the slightest iota in order to work with Jesus Christ to save the world. That's the truth. The spiritual gift of prophecy is available to you. I'm telling you this today. It is available to you and to you and to you and to you and to you. There is a cost involved. There are some dark days involved. There are some tragedies involved. Speaking to my sister Karina and her troubling situation, the tragedy that has visited her life. And I said to her, listen, I say it to you all the time, that your misery is your ministry. You may be walking in the darkness right now, but when you come out, you will have more power with God than you ever had before if you go through in a healthy way. God will take the thing that was meant to curse you and cause it to be a blessing to thousands, to millions, for His glory. Yeah. If you go through it in a healthy spiritual way. What is that healthy spiritual way? That healthy spiritual way is to be completely human and to admit that you have been broken and defeated, that this thing has sent you into a spiritual conundrum, to admit that to God. To trust Him and sit there and wait for God to deliver you. I've been there. Everybody can't say that. To wait on God in the midst of my darkness and despair, to be quiet and be still and to wait for the Lord my God until He comes and answers me. These are the costs that must be paid if we are to operate in the power of God's Holy Spirit. This is why I believe so many of us are afraid, because we know that it comes at a high cost. I said it last week, week before last. It comes at a high cost. I look at Sarah all the time and I say, you know what? When she figures it out, she's going to turn the world upside down for Jesus. When she figures this out, she's going to turn the world upside down. Your misery is your ministry. God anoints us most deeply where He strikes us most deeply. Too many of us want to operate in talent, in human ability. No. God chooses to use the broken, the foolish, the confused and the weak. These are the people that Jesus Christ used most mightily for His glory. These are the people that God calls to walk in the gift of prophecy. Because when you have been tried to this degree and you come out and you're still faithful, God knows something about you now. You know what He knows? God knows I can trust you. I can trust you to not run away when it gets too dark. I can trust you to stand even when the lion is right in your face roaring. I can trust you to stand your ground and to stand for the glory of God, because you've been through and you've come out. It's pure gold. These are the warriors of Jesus Christ. Those who operate in the prophetic anointing of prophecy have been anointed by God to stand our ground and to take territory from the adversary, to clear out regions of demonic oppression. This is what the people of God are called to do. Every one of us should have that ability. Every one of us should have that power. But I fear that the church in America has become too lazy, too laid back. Instead of assaulting spiritual opposition, we want to assault worldly opposition. You know why? Because it's easier. It is easier to stop abortion in the legal clinic than it is to stop abortion in the spirit. It's easier, and we're lazy. So we can't pull down strongholds. So we have to depend on the world to accomplish the will and purpose of God. It should not be so. We are the people of God, and we have power with God. Yeah. The spiritual gift of prophecy is the greatest of all of those powers. I'm going to stop. I could preach today. I could talk about this for a long time. I could. We need to understand who we are. We're greater than the President of the United States. We're greater than him. The least in the kingdom of God is greater than the President of the United States of America. The least in the kingdom. We are the authorized ones of God. When we realize it, whenever we wake up and realize it, we're going to put the enemy to flight. We'll be able to walk into Chinatown and say, this violence that's happening over here, this is ridiculous, this has to stop, this darkness has to be beaten back. I'm not going to the police department or to the mayor, they can't help with this. But I've come to arrest the spirit of violence. I've come to confront the spirit of darkness by the prophetic gifting of God, call those things that be not as though they were, and to cause dawn to come from this darkness. Those brothers in the book of Acts had it like that. Seven sons of Sceva came to the person possessed with the devil and said, in the name of the God that Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The demon said, I know Paul. And I know Jesus. He knew Paul. How do you know Paul? Because Paul had confronted him and evicted him many times before by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Does he know you? Does darkness know you? When you come, does darkness begin to recede? Does he know you? He should. This is war. And if my enemy doesn't even know me, I must be showing him my back more than showing him my sword. He should know you. He should know us. The enemy should know Cornerstone Community Church. And he should be very concerned that we are here. If he is not concerned, it is because we are not walking in the Spirit of God. And he has nothing to fear from another weak church, in another weak network of churches, in another weak community. We don't want to be that. We don't need to have 1 million members. All we need is a few good members filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We'll take any community for Jesus Christ. That is his will for us. That is his will for each of us. And through this gift of prophecy, we can do just that. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you today because you have given to us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. In order to be a comfort and a blessing to one another, to our community, to our city, to the world. I pray today for the spirit of power to fall down in this place on every child of God. I pray that you would give us spiritual vision to see that we walk by faith and not by sight, and that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but that they're mighty through you, to the pulling down of strongholds, to the casting down of every imagination and every high thing that would dare exalt itself against the name of Jesus Christ. Help us to yield ourselves to you more completely. Help us to desire to function and to operate in your spiritual gifting of prophecy. Help us to know your mind and to speak your thoughts after you. Give us power to stand against the armies of the aliens that would come against us. Give Karina power to stand in the midst of grief, in the midst of her sorrow. I pray that the Holy Spirit would descend upon her like a dove, that you would comfort her heart, that you would cause her in your own time to walk out of the darkness, newly empowered with fresh anointing to destroy every yoke and bondage, to bring glory to your name from her pain. In Jesus' name.